T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Just wanted to hear a little more of the great Robert Randolph of the Family Band. Welcome back, everybody. It's 108. Chad Hartman, Adam Carter, Dan Cook with you on News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's bring in a longtime friend, Hennepin County retired judge Kevin Burke. Kevin was a part of Hennepin County's judicial system from 84 to 2020, multiple terms as the chief judge, multiple terms as the assistant judge, and has been very, very helpful to us over the years here at CCO and also at The Fan. We want to talk about what is taking place with the third day of the manslaughter trial of a former Brooklyn Center police officer Kimberly Potter in the death of Dante Wright, the taser or gun, the video we have all seen. And Kevin, how quickly this is moving out. Always a pleasure. Hope you're well. Want to get caught up on a couple personal items before we finish. But they've already today added a 10th juror. Is that about where you thought they would be with day 3 when Judge Regina Hsu is looking for a total of 14 jurors?
I think they're on schedule. I think that if you look at this case, it is not like the Chauvin case, which had such dominant pretrial publicity. They used a very comprehensive jury questionnaire. So the lawyers and Judge Hsu know a lot about the potential jurors. And I would not be that surprised if they don't finish jury selection, certainly by tomorrow.
Which route do you prefer, Kevin, the lengthy, comprehensive questions compared to a little more limited and then longer questioning of the jurors themselves, where you honestly don't know the answers as opposed to you trying to follow up on a lot of answers that you've learned from the questions?
I think the questionnaire works pretty good. I think that it's important, though, that the lawyers demonstrate that they've actually read the questionnaire of the answers, so that nothing can be more troubling to jurors that they spent all this time carefully filling out a questionnaire, and then you get asked the same question that's in the questionnaire. I personally think that jury selection is very important. There's a study, it's kind of dated, but it will illustrate the point, is a lot of jurors make up their mind based on what the case is about and what the verdict should be, based on the impressions that are created in jury selection and the opening statement. Despite the idea that we tell jurors, keep an open mind, wait till you hear all the evidence, wait till you hear the law, et cetera, you know, your common experience of going to a movie or a play, and somewhere about halfway through the movie or the play, you kind of make some judgments as to whether it's really very good or not very good. So I think the questionnaire makes some sense. And certainly in a high visibility case like this, it's absolutely essential.
I certainly understand the potential power of the opening statement. But take me through the power and what jurors are thinking, according to this study, and then your sense as a lawyer and a judge, maybe the questions they face, mm-hmm. or the makeup of fellow jurors and how that potentially plays out?
Well, there's been an evolution about opening statements in criminal cases. So I graduated from the University of Minnesota Law School in 1975, and at that time, it would be not unusual for a criminal defense lawyer to reserve making their opening statement until they presented their case. You hardly ever see that anymore. I think that everyone understands the importance of a captivating opening statement, and lawyers have gotten much better at it. I think the other thing that the public should know about this case is, if you decide to watch it, is the lawyers on both sides are really very, very good lawyers. So that if you have the opportunity to watch this, I think what you'll see is very good lawyers on both sides.
Does it seem similar to the quality of lawyers we saw in the Chauvin case? And if it's different, in what ways is it different?
I think the quality of the lawyers in the Chauvin case were really very good. So I would anticipate the same kind of experience here. They're good lawyers. They have a judge who is very good, and she has a calming effect on people. I think some of us may have seen trials recently in other states in which the judge kind of lit up the courtroom. That's not going to happen with Reggie Chu.
Yeah, I want to get to that. Hopefully we can keep you a second segment. I want to get to a couple other cases outside this area. Remind folks, retired Hennepin County judge, frequent guest of the show, Kevin Burke, is kind enough to join us. Okay, there was a debate for a while on whether this would be available for streaming. In the end, Judge Chu changed her mind and made it available. We talked about this some in other cases. Is there any reason why this case shouldn't have been available through video?
I think that that COVID really forced Judge Chu's hand. If you look, it's the same courtroom as the Chauvin trial was conducted in. It's the largest courtroom that the court has available. There would be no practical way to allow the public to see this trial short of streaming. There was a discussion about trying to have it like an ancillary courtroom over in the Family Justice Center. But in a sense, that you're going to end up having to, you would have to stream it to get it over there. And then you have the same problem, which is bringing large numbers of people into a small, confined space, exposing them to something that's perhaps not healthy. And certainly the same thing would be true of court staff. So I think that Judge Chu had really no practical alternative other than to say we're going to live stream it.
Okay, so let's get to the key part here. Dante Wright is pulled over. Kimberly Potter and another officer approach the vehicle. She makes a mistake that ends Dante Wright's life. She does. If we accept the reaction that we all saw right afterwards. And I get that people are going to differ on that. To me, it appears she's shocked, she's horrified, cannot believe that she just made this mistake, which would end Dante Wright's life. When we're then talking about finding Potter, the former officer, guilty of second and first degree manslaughter, and now that video is just the essence. It is the case itself. Take me through how that's going to play out.
Well, I think there'll be instructions on what the law is at the beginning of the trial, which will define these two offenses. It's a close call, at least in terms of the law, as to the difference between first and second degree manslaughter. It's not like the difference between manslaughter and first-degree murder. It's a, as you have seen, if you've watched the video, is this is this didn't take very long. So I think what's going to, if the case is going to come down to, is the jurors will see the video, they'll hear the arguments, and we now know they will hear from Ms. Potter, who's going to testify, apparently, and then they're going to have to make up their mind.
Our guy, Joe Freeberg, came out, and this will shock you, the Jordan opinion, and said when the Attorney General's office...
How did you ever pry that out of Joe Freeberg?
It's hard. It's really, really difficult to get Joe to open up. It's really a special skill. In other words, I just stop talking, and he starts giving fact-based, fantastic opinions, which is why he's gold on radio. He said when the decision was upgraded from second to first degree, this is the Attorney General's office, and fairly directly, Keith Ellison himself, bowing to public pressure and bowing to the reaction of the public and horrified. And also, Joe felt like the consistent mistreatment of blacks in our legal system in Minnesota and across the country. When you hear that from Joe, what do you think?
I respect Keith Ellison. I've known Keith for many, many years. I knew Pete Orbit, who appeared before me quite a bit when he was an assistant Hennepin County attorney, and he brought the initial charges. I'll defer to them. I don't really feel comfortable speculating as to why Pete didn't charge the additional case or why Keith did.
Let's do this. Let's pause. I want to get to other matters, including judges, how it's playing out. I want to get your thoughts on the Supreme Court, the political side of that. We're lucky to have Kevin Burke on with this. He was with the Hennepin County judicial system from 1984 to 2020. The fastball is still there. He would still do it. There was just a retirement age. He was twice the chief judge, multiple times the assistant judge, and he's great on so many cases. Short pause and back with Kevin Burke in moments on CCO. Brittany is 40 today, so we're playing Britney Spears as our proper music. Nobody loves Britney music better than former judge Kevin Burke, who is with us. On your phone right now, do you have one single Britney Spears song?
On my phone?
Yeah, on your phone.
None. And as far as I know, it's possible my daughter stuck one on there, but I am not aware of it.
Your main music on your phone is?
Mostly light jazz.
Jazz, okay. Anybody in particular?
Earl Klugh, I like. I like Boney James a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Spyro Gyro. Those are ones that come to mind.
Speaking of your daughter, tell folks where you're going.
We're going to Florida. There's a thing called the Hurricane Tour, which is a series of tournaments that are run nationwide for girls and boys between 14 and 18. There's the Hurricane National Championship, in which you have to win a tournament to get invited. So it's an invitational. And Kate won Midwest Junior Open. So we're off to Orlando later today, and she'll play in the tournament Saturday and Sunday. So
fantastic.
Pretty big deal.
No kidding. Congratulations on that. Let's go back to the news here. And obviously an incredibly important couple hours yesterday with the Supreme Court as the debate is taking place on this Mississippi law and abortion and viability at 15 months. Roe v. Wade has been hotly contested in this country, even though it's a legal precedent going back to the early 70s. We have politics all over this. We have Supreme Court decisions. We have debates. I don't want you to get too, well, I'll ask you one legal question on this. But when you look at how so many of us will look and say, okay, well, the liberals are here and the conservatives are here, or the, you know, Obama-Clinton appointees are here and the Bush-Trump appointees are in that spot, and we're talking about with Supreme Court. Are we right or are we short-sighted when we classify it that way?
Well, you'd like to say you're short-sighted, but I think the Supreme Court has become a highly politicized place, not necessarily through their own fault. And the example I would give you is there really was no excuse, none, not to have hearings on Merrick Garland's nomination to the Supreme Court. And I think that, more than anything else, really contributed to the demise of the Supreme Court's legitimacy. But having said that, I think that the individual justices themselves have to bear some responsibility. As an example, we just talked before the break about Reggie Chu is going to have live streaming of what happened in the courtroom in Hennepin County. There's really no excuse, none, for the United States Supreme Court not to have live streamed what happened in the courtroom in Washington yesterday. It certainly is a case of major national interest. And so the idea that, well, we don't want any cameras in the courtroom is a pretty naive view about where they are with the American public. Most of the polling says in the last 2 years, the public support for the legitimacy of the court has crashed. And that means you got to do something. And they don't appear to be willing to. I think the second thing is, when Earl Warren wrote Brown versus Board of Education, he made sure that the opinion was short enough that it could be reprinted in full in every newspaper in the United States, because he understood how important that decision was going to be.
Sure.
And he couldn't at that time go on the internet to read it. Al Gore hadn't invented the internet yet. So
that's true.
Now I know this is going to happen. There'll be more than 200 pages of stuff that no one except law professors is going to thoroughly read. And so the way they communicate, the Supreme Court communicates with the public, is really not very sophisticated. So I'm down on them.
Okay. You're a former chief judge. You were a part of this. You pay close attention to the Supreme Court. Part of what John Roberts has tried, especially seeming the last couple years, he's tried to find as many rulings where it's 9-0, 8-1, and he's had a lot of power. Considering the strong views of individuals that we know already where they've stood before on legal precedent regarding abortion and Roe v. Wade, do you think there's any scenario at all where on this case that John Roberts can put together something that gets even close to 8-1?
I suspect not. But I think this is a really important decision, but you got to also look at the Texas decision, in which that's kind of looming out there. Mm-hmm. Mississippi says you can get an abortion. You can't get an abortion after 15 weeks. Texas has got this law that essentially says you can't get an abortion in Texas.
Yep.
And it strikes me that it's not. There are many people who they would never have an abortion. But I don't know that we want to live in a society that says to a young woman who's been raped by her father, you need to carry this pregnancy to term. The suggestion, well, she can just leave the baby at the hospital, means months of reliving the trauma of a rape of your father. And that's what both Mississippi and Texas, and it's perhaps the Supreme Court, is prepared to say, oh, that's okay.
The Rittenhouse case drew so much interest for so many reasons, including when he was found not guilty. We haven't talked since Judge Schrader was such a viable, visible, vocal part of the case. Some thought he went too far. Some thought he was so atypical. And others said, you know what? This is how some judges are. If you saw courtrooms on a regular basis, you wouldn't think he was that outlandish, so to speak. What did you think about how he conducted the courtroom during that trial?
Well, for years, you were announced the Timberwolves games. And the last thing you want in a Timberwolves game, basketball game for that matter, is to have the story be about the referees. Hey, mm-hmm. The story is not about the referees. Exactly. It's about the game, how the players played, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think that he's may very well be a very nice man, but if you didn't do a very good job, if everyone is talking about your role in the case, and I think on that that criteria, he didn't do a very good job.
Can you think of anybody close to him in our courts the last 10, 20, 30 years?
Oh, I think that if I was going to be, if, I will be honest. Yes, I can, and no, I won't tell you what their names are.
Hey, love it. We got to do this more often.
Okay.
Travel safe. Best of luck to your daughter, and you're playing down there yourself also, right? You got to be finding
play,
a way.
We're going to play Bay Hill on Monday.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good thing that – So she's been training. She got up this morning at 5:30 to go to the gym.
That's awesome.
That's a dedication that I didn't have when I was her age.
Yes, and that's sadly, it is so, so competitive. If she doesn't do that, she could pass. You know,
yeah.
So that's just a part of it. All right, Kevin, best of luck. And again, thanks for coming on.
Bye-bye.
So good to us. He is, man, he is relatable. He's intelligent. He's lived it. I mean, his work with the drug court in this county is amazing also. Hennepin County, former judge, Kevin Burke. Adam, back in the mix in moments on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.